to thank Rabbi Jack for joining us. He's a very, very busy man, a rav of a shul here, Avas Yisrael in Menon Park, a Rebbe in Frisch. So he's my neighbor. I'm a Nami the Frisch. So thank you again for joining us.
All right, my pleasure. So, quick show of hands, how many guys remember the dream that you had last night? Okay, a few hands. Does anyone feel comfortable? No pressure. This is relaxed. This is NCSY. There's no pressure. Does anyone feel comfortable sharing the dream that you had? Yeah, what was your dream?
I was out there at popcorn.
You were chopping down a popcorn maker.
Trapped
in a popcorn maker. Did you get out?
I don't remember.
You don't remember. You woke up. Okay, what was your dream?
I found Jeff's
credit card.
Nice. And I bought all of Stockings.
What did you buy?
All of Stockings.
Okay. In the back, yeah. What's that? I didn't hear you. You tried killing yourself. I was told, again, I'm not a professional, I was told you can't die in your own dream. Someone told me this. Like, let's say, God forbid, you're, like, you dream you're jumping off like some mountain or something. You will wake up a split second beforehand. Someone explained, again, I'm not a dream professional, but my sources explained it to me, that you can't really experience anything in a dream that you don't have at least an idea of. And Baruch Hashem, we're all alive, so we've never experienced death. You can tell me I dream about Jeff Bezos. You can tell me I dream about popcorn because you've experienced these things in your life. You know who he is. You know what popcorn is. But you can't really have something in a dream. You can't have a dream about something that you never really have gone through. You might not have seen it, but someone can tell me what's pink and an elephant. I'll have a dream about a pink elephant. Yeah, what's your name? Yeah, remind me. What's your dream about? Were you in Camp Candy for the first half? Okay. So I was in, back in the day, I was in Camp La Vie. I was the music director at Camp La Vie. So my job was to like do the boy-girl sing, like to get up in the dining room, make it Labadik. So one summer, I forget how many years this goes, going back to probably 20 years ago, there was a bear on campus. So everybody was like in lockdown. You couldn't go out. And I had a guy there who like lived at Camp La Vie year-round. His name was Pete. This guy was like a real outdoorsman. So Pete decided he was going to build a cage to catch the bear. So he gets his crew together, right? Child shoes, you cannot go. I was terrified because like there was a bear around. The game was like, you can't put any garbage out overnight. I had my kids were little. I had like diapers. You could not put a diaper outdoors. You had to like live with a stinky diaper right next to your bed the whole night because if you put a diaper outside, it's going to track the bear. So Pete caught this bear on a Sunday morning. What food do you think Pete put into the cage to get the bear to go in that he could trap him with? Show of hands. What food did Pete, the maintenance man at Camp La Vie in 2000 and whatever, six? What? Now you said it was a food. No one needs a diaper. I don't know about you, but I did not make a bracha on my diapers this morning. I had some yummy French toast. You know, what did Pete put in? Fish? A herring? Ooh, no. Nah, like a tuna. Bears like fish. Okay, that's a good guess. What did Pete put in? Cholent. Yeah, what did Pete put in? Bananas. What did Pete put in? Wild berries. Who are you? I didn't get your name. Ellie what? Benjamini. From where? Bibletown. New Ellie. What did Pete put in this thing? Close. Let's go. Look, Winnie the Pooh. Winnie the Pooh is a good bear. He likes his honey. Yeah. Bees. He had to trap the bees, catch the bees, to put them into the cage to trap the bear. My friends, Pete was very smart. Pete put in waffles and maple syrup. Pancakes and maple syrup. There was ways to caught the bear. The bear goes in. He was hungry Sunday morning. He wants his good breakfast. So he goes in to get his maple syrup and whatever he got, the pancakes. The bear goes in. He drops the door behind. They call like the National Pennsylvania Wildlife Reserve thing. They came, took the bear away from Camp La Vie. So someone had a dream about a bear. Dreams, on the one hand, are significant. Who had a very important, significant dream in the Chumash? No? Yeah? Yaakov. Who else? Moshe had a dream? Yosef had dreams, right? Paro had dreams. By the way, I'm going to throw it out there. You'll try to figure out why all the stories that we have about the dreams are usually read during the month of Kislev. You'll think about that for a second, why the dream parshios always come out during Kislev. But here's what I'm going to show you. There was a person... Actually, it's not a person. There were many people in the times of the Gemara who used to want to know what their dreams meant. They didn't have me. They had a real rabbi who could interpret what dreams really meant. Please look in source number one. It's Yerushalmi Maaser Sheni. Again, I have Hebrew, I have English for everybody. Chad Barnash, there was one man, also the guy be the Rebbe Yishmael, but Rebbe Yossi. He went to this great dream interpreter. This man was not Jewish. He went to this rabbi, Rebbe Yishmael, but Rebbe Yossi. Amrle, Chamis v'chalmoy, I saw the following in my dream. Bala Chad Kochav. What's a Kochav?
Star.
I swallowed a star. Rabbi, what does my dream mean? I swallowed a star. Amalei tipach ruchi dahu gavra. Let this man be blown away. Yehudoi kotel. He killed a Jew. To cause of darach kochav miyakov. From the dream that he says, I swallowed a star, the rabbi understood what that meant is he killed a Jew. How did he know that swallowing a star equals killing a Jew? What do you think? Yeah? Stars are great, excellent. Jews are great, excellent. Yeah, on the corner. Okay, correct. I went through my mind. He says I had in my mind. This is what I dreamt about in my mind, right? Subconsciously, that was whole Sigmund Freud's thing, right? You know, there's certain things we want to do or act out, but we don't. So we hold them back. But like deep down, they're like boiling up inside of us. So either he dreamed about it or he really did do it. But he says this man killed a Jew. How does the fact that he swallowed a star represent mean that the rabbi saw, oh, he killed a yid? Yeah. Excellent. What's your name? Okay, look in. I'm going to skip a little bit. You said source number 3. Look at source number 3. Vayote oso achutza. Hashem took Avram outside. Literally means outside of his tent. Vayomer habet no hashemaima. Please look towards the sky. Usvar kochavim. Count the stars. Im tuchelis por osam. If you're able to count them. Vayomer lo koye zarecha. This is how your children are going to be. Your offspring. They're going to be as numerous as the stars in the sky. So Hashem tells Abraham, your kids are going to be stars. So this non-Jew comes and says, I swallowed a star. The rabbi knows the pasuk in Parshas Lech Lecha. Oh, Jewish people like stars. That's a great answer. My question is, but. That's not the pasuk that the rabbi quoted this non-Jew. If I was you, I got a pasuk, Hashem speaks to Avram and says, Jews are compared to stars. But when I look, that's not the pasuk. Look at the end, source number 1, go back. The last 3 words are the pasuk that the rabbi quoted him. Again, Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yossi says, Darach Kochav Miyakov. We just read this, no? A few weeks ago. Yeah? Yosef G with the sun and the moon and the stars. Okay, that's another good place, right? Yeah? You want to say it also? Yeah? But look what Pasuk he quotes. Darach Kochav Miyakov. Does anyone remember where that a star is shooting out from Yaakov? I'll give you guys a big hint. Look in source number 2. Source number 2 was with Bilam and Balak. The Navi is called upon, he's hired, paid a lot of money to try to curse the Jewish people. He says, Arena Veloato, I see it but not right now. Ashrena Velokorov, it's not coming to be close. Darach Kochav Miyakov. I could redo the source, I'd bold that. A star is shooting out, like a comet is shooting out from Yaakov. Vikam Shavim Yisrael, a staff is coming out from the Jewish people. Umachat Pasay Moab Vakarkor. This is going to be destroying Moab. It's going to destroy Kol B'nei Shesh. It's going to destroy all the kids of the children of Shesh. This Pasuk is actually referring to a very specific person. Not every single Jew. Would anybody like to guess what specific, unique personality is being referred to in this dream or this nevuah that he gives? Yeah? Close. Actually, the Rambam does learn this is talking about David HaMelech. Good. Very good. Any other thoughts as to who might be referring to this Pasuk? Darach Kohal. Shaul. Good. Anyone else? Shmuel. Good. Anyone else? Yeah? Avshalom. Okay. Some of the Rambam says it's that question in the back. Melech HaMoshiach according to some, the Ramban on his commentary on this, that this pasuk of Darach Kochav Miyakov is referring to the Melech HaMashiach, the one who's going to come and change the whole world. Let's just break this down for 1 minute. The non-Jew killed a Jew. That happened. It wasn't a dream. He really did it. The guy's a victim. This Jew is weak. Anti-Semite. Kills him. But yet when you look at the commentators and the puzzle, it's not talking about a weak person. It's talking about the greatest Jewish leader who will ever live. It's talking about the Mashiach. Now we know right now we're in the 3 weeks. Besides, ouch, the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash, what else happened on Tisha B'Av? Chet to the Meraglim, good. Anything else? What happened besides the destruction of the Chet to the Meraglim? What else happened throughout history on the day of Tisha B'Av? Do we know this? You ever heard this before? Yeah. What was that city called? Beitar, right? Very good. Excellent. So Beitar, now we have to know a little bit of Jewish history. Beitar happened not during the first Beis HaMikdash, but in the second Beis HaMikdash. Let's just do a quick review. Which of our enemies destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash? Shout it out. Who destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash? Nebuchadnezzar, Bavel, right? Yirmiyahu, the whole story. Who destroyed the second Beis HaMikdash? The Romans. The Romans came, destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. They plowed over Yerushalayim. They renamed it. What's it called? Ela Capitolina, right? They gave a new name for it. There was a time of tremendous persecution. There was a person named Hadrian who made a lot of tsaros for the Klal Yisrael. But there was one person who organized a rebellion. Rabbi Akiva felt that this person was going to be the Mashiach. If you look now, source number 4. Tani Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Akiva Ribi Haya Dorish, this pasuk, Darash Kochav Miyakov, Darach Koziba Miyakov, Rebbe Akiva Kad Have Chami Bar Koziba, Have Amr Deinhu Malka Mashiacha. He thought that this leader was going to be the Melech HaMashiach, that he was going to take over. If you look in source number 5, that's the Ramban who talks about this idea that he's going to be the again. So who exactly is being referred to in this Dorach Kochav Miyakov? Is it a victim? Guy who gets slaughtered by an anti-Semite? Or is it actually a king? If you think about it for a second, we have two opposites, extreme opposites. According to who was Rabbi Shmuel, this is the case of the ultimate victim. This Jew who got killed. According to Rabbi Akiva, this is the ultimate warrior. This one is going to win and fight the battles of Hashem and bring world peace, recognition, harmony, Shalom al Yisrael. I just want to end off with one more question. We'll try to answer this all up. Why are the Jewish people compared to stars? What's the metaphor about? What do you think? There's so many stars you can't see. How many? Yeah, take a guess. How many stars do you think are actually visible on a? I mean, you guys are in camp here. This is a geschmack place. But you go up to like the mountains on a summer night, you're away from the city, there's no smog, there's no congestion, there's no lights. How many stars can you see? Show of hands, how many guys have been up to the mountains in the summer and looked at the sky? Okay, so you know what I'm talking about. Take a guess, how many stars do you think are actually visible at one time on a very clear night? Now, summertime. How many? Thousands? How many? Millions. How many? A lot. Can you give me a number to the, a lot? Yeah, how many? 500? Well, let's go back for a second. Let me go back for a second. How many Jews are there now in the world? About 15 million. Are there 15 million stars visible in the sky every night? No. So what's Hashem telling? What's Hashem telling Avraham Avinu? Oh, Ko Yezarecha, you're going to have the number of stars. I don't know you. I don't see 15 million stars. Yeah? Ooh. Very good. Very good. I found an interesting an interesting, 1 second, I want to look it up. Where is it? The James Webb Space Telescope. You know what I'm talking about? It's not here, I have it in my notes. They found something called the Carina Nebula. The Carina Nebula. It is 7,600 light years away. I'm going to repeat that number just to try to get it. What's a light year? So how fast does speed travel per second? How fast does light travel per second? What's a second? Do you know this number? You're wearing a NASA shirt. You know this number? It's crazy. When you do the math, like if we have it figured in class, like write this up on the board. How fast light travels in 186,000 miles per in 1 second. Light, the speed of light, travels 186,000 miles per second. And that's a second. Seeing how many seconds in a minute? How many minutes in an hour? In a year. So you have this distance, how fast it's traveling, and you have 7,600 of those, and that's where the name of it is the James Webb Space Telescope. They found stars that are being formed over there. Perhaps that's the idea behind the stars, what we're talking about. You don't see them all. You don't see everything that's there, but they're present. It's so far away. Sometimes we have something that's so deep inside of us, it's there, it's real. We have something that's so powerful inside of us, but it's not revealed, it's not open. Yeah, can you say something? That's a good point. Very good point. Yeah. Correct. The light we're seeing it from stars, correct. Excellent point. You guys know your astronomy. Very good. Yeah? Okay. Not yet. I don't yet. Very good. Very good. Okay, Chevra, let me call your attention to the Maor Einayim. The Maor Einayim was a Rebbe in the town of Chernobyl. Where is Chernobyl located? In the Ukraine. You cannot travel to his grave because there was a nuclear reaction. I'm dating myself. I think it was the 80s, maybe the 90s. Was it the 80s? Late 80s. That sounds about right, actually. I'll take your word for it. I did not check my facts before I came here this morning. But in the late 80s, we'll say there was a reaction that went off, a nuclear reactor. Chabad went in and helped bring out, they called Children of Chernobyl, to help get these kids out and to be exposed to very dangerous radiation. It's off limits now. You can't go travel there. But before these types of nuclear explosions happening in the 1980s, in the 18th century, there were spiritual bombs being set off. There was a great tzaddik called the Maor Einayim, one of the early Hasidic Rebbes. Who here has been, we've got guys from Florida, we got from the Midwest, five towns. Have you guys been to Muncie? Have you been to New Square, right next to Muncie? Yeah? So New Square is a direct descendant of the Maor Einayim. And I wonder, you have the translation underneath, but he wanted to say something very powerful. How do you say human being in Hebrew? Ish, how else can you say a man? Adam, how else? Gever is another word for that. Ish, Adam. Isha's a woman. Adam. If you take the three letters that spell up the word Adam. Aleph, Dalet, Mem. Aleph, Dalet, Mem stands for the three people that exist inside of every single one of us. The Aleph inside of each one of us, where Adam, stands for Adam Harishon. Every single one of us is a descendant of Adam HaRishon. There's also a piece inside of us, a Dalet. Who do you think that stands for? David HaMelech. Excellent. There's a piece of kingship inside us. So Aleph is Adam HaRishon. The Dalet is David. Who's the Mem?
Moshe.
Close? Mashiach. Mashiach. There's a piece of Mashiach inside of each and every single one of us. Comes along the Maor Einayim now and says like this. Each one of us has to correct, ulahachin and prepare chelik koimas Mashiach hashayich l'nishmaso. That every single one of us has a piece of Mashiach inside of us, and we need to work on that, and we need to correct that and to fix it. I'll read if you have the English underneath. The word Adam is an acronym for Adam, David, and Mashiach. That we have this piece inside of us. So, the takeaway is that every single one of us is a little bit like a mini Mashiach. Every single one of us, based on this teaching of the Baal Shem Tov, quote in the Sefer Ma'ori Naim, that every single one of us has a little piece of Mashiach inside of us. And when we work on that piece inside of us, that star that's inside of us, that piece of Melech HaMashiach that we're cultivating, that helps bring out something amazing. In the next source, you have a way of understanding why in that dream, that star that got swallowed, is that sometimes we could feel like in our lives, we got swallowed. We got defeated. We had a setback. We had a failure. Things didn't go the way we wanted to. We didn't get picked for the team we wanted to be on. We didn't get to go to a particular place we wanted to go to. Something happened that set us back. So he writes, even a soul that's experiencing a crushing defeat, at their lowest one feels swallowed whole by the presence of existence, is a star because their soul is part of Mashiach's soul. See, even when we're on a very low level, we're still connecting to them. And I'm going to show you a pasuk that we say every morning by davening. If you look at the next source, it's Gemara in Shabbos. Do I have a volunteer who wants to be the next source? Source number 8. Do you guys have it in front of you? Go, please. Ooh. So what did it mean, the pasuk that we say, Al tigu b'mashichai, don't touch my little Mashiach, my anointed one? What are tinoko shabbes rabon? Children who go to school, you guys. You guys are the little Mashiachs. That's what the pasuk says. Every morning we say this by davening, right? It sounds familiar, right? Right, Pesukim Zimra? Yeah? Getting a few nods over here, right? This is the idea that each one of us has this piece of Mashiach inside of us. I heard a wild story. You guys heard Rabbi Y.Y. Jacobson? Okay, he's a very dynamic, powerful speaker. And he shared with me the following story that came to him from Rabbi Shabtai Slavitki from Antwerp, Belgium. That there was a group of boys from France. And one of the boys had a little bit of, he was like mentally off. Sad, but he had a complex. He had a mental issue in him. And the kid thought he was Mashiach. He would go around telling people, I am the Mashiach, this kid. People realized he wasn't like mentally there. They felt bad. So they were taking a trip. They brought this group of boys from France. They brought them into 770, Chabad Lubavitch World Headquarters in Brooklyn. And this boy is going around telling everybody there, he's the Mashiach. Some people tried, felt sorry for him. Some tried to talk to him. And he wanted to have an audience with the Lubavitch Rebbe, the great Tzaddik Lubavitch Rebbe, this little boy from France who thinks he's the Mashiach. So the way it used to work is that the Rebbe had a secretary whose name was Rabbi Groner. And if he would stand outside the door, you got a private audience. And if he could tell, like, the conversation was dragging along, just, you know, it's not really going anywhere, he would open the door and gently, like, get the person out. But this boy only spoke French. Rabbi Groner didn't speak French, so he has no way of telling, like, what they're talking about in there. So he had somebody else go and stand by the door. He says, if you see things are going a little bit off, stop the conversation, get the boy out, and we'll get the next person in to get a bracha, to get advice from the Lubavitcher Rebbe. So the boy walks in, and he says, surely you understand, you know that I am the Mashiach. Now let's just pause for a second. What would your reaction be if someone turned to you and said, hi, I am, you know that I am the Mashiach? What would your reaction be? I believe you. Okay, what would you say? You'd laugh? What else? Kid walks in and says, you know, like, yeah, what would you do?
You say that you have a piece of
Mashiach inside you. Wait, that might be the answer. Very good. That's what you would say? You would say to him, yes, you do? Okay, good. Very good. Smith, right? No, why is it? Cleveland. Efrat. Okay, I gotta, it's a big room. Okay, yeah. Excellent answer. Excellent answers. So let me share with you what happened at this conversation. The rabbi, Lubavitcher Rebbe, turned to this boy. And that, by the way, the Rebbe spoke French. He lived in France for a short period of time when he was running away from the Nazis. He lived in France before he came to America. You were there? We're in 770?
No,
in France. Oh, yeah, wow. Is it a big place or small?
No, it's very small.
It's very small? But they know the shul the Rebbe davened it in when he was in France? Wow. Wow. How long ago were you there? A few years ago. Okay, very cool. So the Rebbe asked this boy a question. He said to him, "Do you put on tefillin?" The boy said, "No." So the Avitcher Rebbe said, "Mashiach puts on tefillin." So the boy says, "If that's what it takes to be Mashiach, I'll put on tefillin." And then, as the conversation was going on, the Rebbe asked him, "Do you keep kosher?" The boy says, "No." He says, "The Mashiach keeps kosher." The boy says, "If that's what it takes to be the Mashiach, I'm going to keep kosher." And then the Rebbe asked him a third question. What do you think his third question was? Well, I heard it.
Do you keep
Shabbat? So the boy said, "No." He says, "Shabbat is holy. It's kadosh.
Yeah.
Mashiach keeps Shabbos." So the boy says, "Okay, then I will start keeping Shabbos." So then as the conversation was going on, the Rebbe said to him, "Keep tefillin, keep kosher, keep Shabbos, start learning Torah, and then we'll continue the conversation." And the boy walked out of the room smiling. You see, the Rebbe's on my side. But the Rebbe wasn't wrong. Because there is a piece of Mashiach inside of every single one of us. What does that mean to anoint Mashiach? It means to live your lives with that reality. A thing that has something special, something divine, something irreplaceable, something unique. I have a mission. I'm an ambassador. I have a job to do in this world that only I could do and no one else. I'm going to go back to the Gemara we quoted. Al tigu b'mashichai. Don't touch my anointed ones. Elu tinokos shel beis rabban. These are the children, the Jewish children. And when a person realizes and lives their life, when a person lives their life with that reality that everything I do is important, we can understand the famous Rambam now in Hilchos Tshuva. Look on source 9. L'fikach tzarech kol adam shiire atzmo. A person has to see themselves walking through life as half and half. You're on like a tightrope. The whole world half and half. The person doesn't make a mistake, switch the whole world. V'garam lo hashchosa. Awesome, mitzvah achas. A person does one mitzvah, harei hechmiya es atzmo es kol olam kulo lechaf chzuchus. By one mitzvah, you could change the whole world. V'garam lo lahem teshua hatzlo. Do you think one person can affect the whole world? Show of hands. How many guys actually think one person can affect the whole world? Could anybody bring me a recent event that happened where one person affected the whole world? Putin attacked Ukraine. Where else? Person died? Where else? Martin Luther King? Yeah? Some Meshuggah eats a bat in Wuhan. Some Meshuggah eats a bat for breakfast. Didn't make a shahakal on it. And billions of worlds stop, right? One person can affect the world. One person can affect the world, says the Rambam. Don't ever think of yourself as being small. Don't ever think of yourself as being insignificant. Every one of us can affect the entire world. And I want to end, friends, with this week's Parsha, Parshas Devarim. Why is it that Klal Yisrael compared to stars? Look in the last source, please. A medrash on this week's Parsha. Amar lefan ribono shel olam, lama lo mishalta ez manecha b'chama v'levana? Why did you not compare the Jews to the sun or to the moon? Shehem gedolim mikochav, they're larger than stars. Amar l'kodesh baruch hu. So Hashem answers back to Moshe, chayecha chama v'levana yesh lehem busha la'asi lavo. In the future, the sun and the moon are going to be embarrassed and ashamed. On the last line of Al Kochavim Eilehem Busha La'olam, but the stars will never, ever, ever be embarrassed, will never be ashamed. And I believe that's why we're compared to stars, because we have a light that's going to shine, something deep inside of us, something very that's priceless inside of us. We take these ideas, we think about them, that reframes the way we think about ourselves, about our fellow Jews, about the whole world.